Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 5 and continue the story of how Samuel rose to become the sole judge of the people Israel. Now, this is the story so far. We're talking about something that happened right around 1057 BC. Samson ends up being captured and his eyes put out and his hair cut off, and he repents in that state after a few months and gets enough of his strength back to collapse the temple of Dagon at Gaza on top of himself and the five lords of the Philistines and everybody else that happened to be in the facility. That brought an end to his military judgeship. The Philistines responded by getting a great big force together, marching north along the coastal plain until they came to a place called Aphek. And they were clearly on their way inland up the road about another 25 miles or so from Aphek to Shiloh, where they intended to have a tit-for-tat move, a reprisal destruction of the shrine of Israel for the destruction of their shrine at Gaza. Well, the Israelis tried to stop them from coming up that direction, and they got their clocks cleaned bad. They brought the Ark of the Covenant in some sort of superstitious belief that that would save them. And the high priests, Hophni and Phinehas, are killed, and the Ark is captured. Eli, their dad, hears about all of this, and he flops off of his chair next to the gate going into the tabernacle at Shiloh and breaks his neck, and he dies. And so there is great grief and distress in Israel over the loss of the Ark and the loss of the priests at the top of the priesthood. And then, based on what we were able to read in the book of the Psalms and in the book of Jeremiah, the Philistines continued their march up to Shiloh and totally trashed it, destroyed it. So now Israel is without a tabernacle, without a priest, a high priesthood, and without any type of Ark of the Covenant because it's been taken into Philistine territory. And so no doubt they were feeling that God had abandoned them. But let's see what God does with his Ark of the Covenant to prompt the Israelis into repentance. Chapter 5 of 1 Samuel, when the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Now, Ashdod is one of the five cities of the Philistines. It's on the Mediterranean coast, not terribly south, far south of modern city of Tel Aviv. It's about roughly 30 or so road miles from Aphek down to Ashdod. Now, Ashdod is probably the largest of the three northern cities of the Philistines. And so that's probably the reason that the Ark of the Covenant was taken there. Says verse 2, then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it up beside Dagon. And when the people, let's pause there. I don't want to get to that part just yet. Dagon is the chief god of the Philistine people. Now, it's been a long-standing teaching tradition that Dagon was some sort of fish god because the word Dag in Hebrew means fish. But there is a lot more doubt being put on that in modern Bible teaching, And I happen to agree that that's not likely to be the case. Dagon is probably related to a word amongst the Philistine peoples dealing with the clouds and the sky. And so more than likely, Dagon was somehow equated with Baal, the thunder and lightning god of the Canaanites, the master god of fertility, the male aspect of fertility. And so these Philistines believe that Dagon has given them victory over the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israelis, as represented by what they consider to be the Israeli idol, the Ark of the Covenant. So they put the Ark of He Who Is into their temple of Dagon in a subservient manner. They believe that basically Dagon has captured He Who Is, and that He Who is now going to serve Dagon in his temple here at Ashdod. But it doesn't turn out that way. Verse 3, when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the Ark of He Who Is. Now, they have recovered some images of Dagon. And by the way, he's not a fish god in those images. But it is interesting that in many of these images, Dagon is a bearded man with some fancy dress, and he has his hands raised up on both sides of his head so that his palms are basically level with his neck, as if he were offering a blessing, I suppose, is the reason that the sculptors made him look like this. So when Dagon, the idol, fell face forward on the ground in front of the Ark of the Covenant, when the Philistines came in, the priests of the Philistines came in that morning, it would have looked like Dagon was face-planting in front of the Ark of the Covenant, bowing down to the God of the Israelis before his throne as a supplicant. And this is absolutely hilarious. God has made it clear that He is not serving Dagon. If anybody's going to be serving anyone, it's Dagon that should be serving him. Well, it did probably bother the Philistines to see this happen, but they tried to reverse the situation, probably made excuses for themselves. Oh, something must have happened. Maybe there was an earthquake at night and it rattled and it fell over or something like that. So they took Dagon and they put him back in his place. So they raised him back up again. Verse number 4. But when they rose early on the next morning, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the Ark of He Who Is. So he's fallen down before. But this time, something else has happened. And the head of Dagon and both his hands were lying cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. So his statue is in this little alcove, and the Ark of the Covenant is sitting in front of that alcove, and there would have been a little dividing point between the two rooms, which we're referring to here as a threshold. And on this morning, when Dagon was forced by God to bow before the Ark of the Covenant again, the statue, the idol, landed with just the perfect shearing force that his head popped off and his two hands that were raised up next to his head were sheared off at the wrists and just kind of tumbled forward in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this is, again, highly significant in the society of that day. Often, when you killed an enemy in battle, you would take his hands or his head as trophies of war to demonstrate to your people, this enemy of mine is now defunct. He is deceased, and I have his head or I have his hands. I am the winner. And so instead of Dagon being the winner over he who is, this action demonstrates that he who is the winner over Dagon. Now, the prophet writing these things down explains to his readers that this is the origin of something that the Philistines and other worshipers of Dagon were still doing in his day. It says, this is why the priests of Dagon and all who enter the house of Dagon do not tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. In other words, they leap over the entry point because that's where Dagon lost his head and his hands. It's kind of a superstitious thing, similar to the little sing-song thing we did when I was a kid, walking down the sidewalk. If you step on a crack, you'll break your mother's back. And so you end up trying to avoid stepping right on sidewalk cracks. I have to confess to you, even to this day, 60 years old, I sometimes find myself falling back into that pattern because it was just so weird that, you know, that was what we did as kids. Well, this leads to the Ashdodites and the followers of Dagon all over the place after it to not step on the threshold of Dagon's sanctuary. Now, verse 6, this wasn't the only thing that God was doing. This is now, you know, a couple of days that the Ark of the Covenant has been at Ashdod. But God has put some other things in place as well. Verse 6, the hand of he who is was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. Now, these tumors, we're talking about growths. And we're going to go with a suggestion that has been made in the commentaries that I think is very interesting based on what the Philistines will do later when they're trying to send the Ark of the Covenant back. When they do, they are going to give little representations of these growths as little gold tumors, but they'll also give little gold rodents as well. So there's something about rodents and these growths that are attached into the mind of the Philistines. And some medical people who have studied the Bible took note of the fact that the bubonic plague is associated with both of these things. It is carried by the fleas that typically ride on rats as their host, but then jump off and bite people and pass on this horrible disease. And one of the things that happens to people when they get the bubonic plague is that they have an immunoresponse where their lymph nodes under their arms and on their necks and in their groin area swell up into these little tumors. And it is possible that what God has done here is allowed the people of Ashdod to have an outbreak of the bubonic plague at the exact same time that they brought the Ark of the Covenant into their city. And so that's going to go on for probably several weeks, maybe a month or so. Verse 7, when the men of Ashdod saw how these things were, they eventually said, the Ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for this hand, or his hand, is hard against us and against Dagon, our God. So they come to the conclusion, the outbreak that we're having right now of rodents and these tumors, it started the moment that that ark came into our presence. So this must be that God punishing us. So acting in their superstitious mind, their response is, we need to get that God out of our city. He needs to be moved away so that his power weakens here and lets us get back to having Dagon take care of us. Now, that's really kind of weird, but that's superstitious thinking for you. So what do? They sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the Ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath. So they brought the Ark of the God of Israel there. So the five leaders, which remember, they've only been in their positions of authority for a few months now, because their predecessors were killed in the collapse of the Dagon temple at Gaza when Samson committed suicide there. So these guys get together and go, look, Ashdod wants relief from trying to keep this god hostage. So it needs to go to another city. Which of the five or the other four cities should it go to? Now, more than likely, they were only considering three cities because they're going to want to take the ark into their shrine building where their god, Dagon, can keep this god hostage. Now, apparently, they were of the belief that the idol at Ashdod wasn't strong enough. So they thought that perhaps the idol representing Dagon at Gath would be strong enough to keep this God of the Hebrews in check. So that's where they sent it. Verse number 9. But after they had brought it around, the hand of he who is was against that city, causing a very great panic. And he afflicted the men of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out on them. So immediately after the Ark of the Covenant arrives at Gath, which is only it's less than 10 miles, excuse me, I think it is a little bit more than 10 miles from Ashdod over to Gath. Gath is up closer to the Israeli border with the Philistine territories. So they bring it there, and immediately, same thing starts happening there. After a few more weeks, maybe a month or so, verse 10, they sent the Ark of God to Ekron, which is only about 6 miles north of Gath. And it also is on the border with the Israeli territory. As soon as the Ark of God came to Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, they've brought around to us the Ark of God of Israel to kill us and our people. So panic immediately ensues in the city. And something different has to be done because the people are going to riot if they're forced to keep this deadly idol of the Israelis in their territory. Verse 11, they sent therefore and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place, that it may not kill us and our people. For there was a deathly panic throughout the whole city. The hand of God was very heavy there. The men who did not die were struck with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. So that's three cities now. So the entire northern tier of the Philistine territory has this outbreak of the tumors and probably of these rodents that are running all over the place. The southernmost city, Gaza, has the ruins of their shrine building that was destroyed earlier in the year, or earlier last year. And so it's bad all the way around. And the reason for it is identified as the God of the Hebrews housed in this Ark of the Covenant. And so they want it gone. Verse 1 of chapter 6. The Ark of He Who Is was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Now in the Septuagint, a little bit longer than that, I believe, or a little bit less than that. Let me check here again. I'm thinking it was about 4 months, but I can't find it right now. Let's not worry about that at this moment. But basically, it was kept through the end of the calendar year into the beginning of the next year, right around the time of harvest. And so this is their plan for sending it back. Verse number 2, the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said, "What shall we do with the Ark of He Who Is? Tell us with what we shall send it back to its place." So they know that they've offended the deity that this Ark belongs to, and they want to make some sort of reparation. So they go to their spiritual leaders, and their spiritual leaders said back to them, if you send away the Ark of the God of Israel, don't send it away empty, but by all means return him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand does not turn away from you. And they said, what's the guilt offering that we should return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. So you must make images of your tumors and images of your mice that ravaged the land and give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from off you and your gods and your land. Why should you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? After he had dealt severely with them, did they not send the people away and they departed? So these guys are going back in history now. They're saying, several hundred years ago, the Egyptians suffered under this particular God because they defended him. You don't want to go through that. It destroyed their economy. It destroyed their army at that time. You need to get on better terms and let this God go back to his home, because remember, they're thinking about this as an idol, and you need to also apologize to him on the way out. So each of you 5 lords should give him a golden representation of the mice or the rodents that are running around the land right now causing trouble, and a little lump of gold representing the tumors that are affecting everyone, apparently even including the lords of the Philistines. And then they're going to do something else. They want to make sure that this is real. So they want to see a supernatural sign that the God of Israel forgives them and is going to go back to his country. So verse 7, now then prepare a new cart, brand new, and 2 milk cows on which there's never come a yoke, and yoke the cows to the cart, but take their calves home away from them. So you got a couple of cows that have just recently calved. So they've got babies, and they've never been used for pulling anything. So you're going to take these calves away from the mamas, which is going to make them upset, or it should. And you're going to yoke them up for the very first time in their lives, which should also upset them. And then you take the Ark of He Who Is and you put it on that cart and put it in a box on its side, the figures of gold, which you're returning to him as a guilt offering. Then send it off and let it go its way and watch. And if it goes up on the way to its own land to Beth Shemesh, Beth Shemesh is one of the cities of Dan and Judah border. and it's on the way back toward Israeli central territory. So watch, and if it starts heading that way, then it is he who has done this to us, this great harm. And if not, then we know it's not his hand that struck us. It just happened by coincidence. So they set up this mechanism by which, under normal circumstances, these cows should not cooperate. They should absolutely hate being harnessed, and they should refuse to leave their calves, which would be bawling for them. And they say, if these animals take the cart up toward Israeli territory, even with all of those things stacked against them, then it must be their God that is making this happen, and we'll be just glad that he's leaving our territory and hope that he'll forgive us. But if they won't go, if they stay where they're at, then we'll know all of this is just one big coincidence, and we'll just try to push forward where we're at. Have a great weekend. We'll finish more of this story on Monday when we get back in the Word.